The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who's coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so does anybody know what yesterday was? Saturday, okay, all right. March 25th. 9 months until Christmas, which is why the church celebrates the great feast of the Annunciation on March the 25th, when the angel Gabriel comes and proposes to Mary God's big plan that she's going to become the mother of Jesus, and Mary gives her fiat, her let it be to me. She gives God her yes. And the Holy Spirit comes upon her, and she conceives, and 9 months later, she gives birth to the very Son of God. And if you've been around Trinity this year, you know that this is our theme this year, fiat, because we want to give God our yes in everything. And it's also why during Lent we've been doing this Let Us Pray series. Because prayer, as we've been learning, is ultimately not us asking God to give his yes to what we want, but it's giving our yes to what he wants. It's why we've been learning how to pray by trusting and understanding and thirsting and seeing and today lamenting. Because there are some things that seem impossible to accept and to give our yes. I can still remember very vividly the first time I had to confront death. I was about 12 years old, not quite. And my papa was dying of cancer. I loved my papa. And I didn't understand. And I can remember crying, raging. Why can't the doctors do something for him? Why can't they save him? Sometimes we are just decimated by death or trauma or a total injustice, and we can't do anything to change it. We can't fix it. We can't even explain it. We are helpless. But we're not hopeless. And this is why we have to learn how to lament. A lament is that cry of anguish from the depths of our human heart. When all we can do is cry. When sometimes there aren't even words, there are only just groans and moaning and wailing and screaming. But a lament is more than that. It's much more than that. Yes, it is a cry of the heart that then clings to the promise. In our first reading from Ezekiel, God says, I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it. In the book of Ezekiel, God says, I am the Lord 80 times, over 80 times. Because despite what Ezekiel has experienced, the horrors of what the Babylonians had done, he wants to assure Ezekiel, no, still, I am the Lord. Cling to that. Cling to me. Cling to my promise. But sometimes the cry of our hearts, it feels like it's falling on deaf ears, doesn't it? And we've all experienced that. In our gospel reading today, John points out 3 times that Jesus loves Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And yet then he does what seems to be monstrous, so cruel, so unloving. He does nothing. For 2 days, he stays put. He does nothing. He lets Lazarus die. Why didn't he go to him immediately and heal him? A lament, is the cry of the heart that clings to the promise and then sometimes has to do the most difficult thing of all, wait. Wait on the Lord. Because what else can you do? Well, our reading kind of shows a couple of things that we try to do. First of all, that we go on the attack. Like some of the crowd of mourners did. Couldn't this man who healed that blind man, couldn't he have done something to save this man? He seems careless to us, or powerless, therefore useless, or he just doesn't even exist. How often we hear people say things like, I can't believe in a God that allows fill in the blank. If there is a God, why doesn't he do something? We don't lament. We accuse. We attack. Or we do the exact opposite. We retreat from God. That's what Mary, Lazarus' sister, did. She stayed in the house, it says. Jesus comes to town. She stays put. She's stuck, paralyzed, maybe angry. But Jesus loves her. So he calls for her, and finally Mary comes, and she collapses at his feet, and between her sobs, lashes out at him. If you had been here, like so many people stuck in grief, she is stuck in a past that she cannot change, and she can't see a future. And like her, we often pray to God with a bunch of if prayers. If you had been here, if you would have done this. And what we really mean is, if you do what I want, if you do what I say, if you do what I think. Or we attach conditions to it. If you do this, Lord, then I will believe in you. Then I'll love you. Martha is the one who comes the closest to what a lament is. She too had said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But she adds on some hope. But even now, Lord, I know whatever you ask, God will give you. And Jesus loves Martha also. And he says, your brother will rise. And Martha then gives the Sunday school answer, I know my brother will rise on the last day. I get it. No, Martha, don't you see? I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. In other words, I don't just ask the Father, I am the Father's answer, Martha. It's not what you think I could have done if I had been here, or what you think I should do even now, or what I will do on the last day. It's who I am, Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the Lord. Cling to that. About a week after this, a soldier would come up to Jesus and pierce his heart with a spear. But it's here in this moment, it's the death of Lazarus and the weeping of Mary and Martha that pierces Jesus' heart. And finally, the dam breaks. The floodgates open, and Jesus can't hold his tears back anymore. John tells us that he was deeply disturbed, agitated, perturbed. The words there hint at that Jesus was actually angry at what death had done to his friends. It's here that we see the deepest compassion of our Lord for us, that our God is truly with us in the depths of our sorrow and in the predicament of death. And yet, if that's all he does, a God who cries with us, and that's all he does, that doesn't really do us much good, does it? Jesus now is doing so much more. See, what he's taking all of this and absorbing this. He's taking this into himself. Jesus is taking up our lament as our brother. In fact, I'd suggest to you, he's giving us the lament. Because without him, we don't have a lament. All we have is that anguished cry that can't change anything. It's only with him that we have hope. Because Jesus himself hopes in the Father. He clings to the promise. Father, I know that you hear me. I thank you that you hear me. You always hear me. Not just here, at the tomb of Lazarus, but a week later as he hangs from the cross. It's there that Jesus embodies our lament. He cries the cry of the human heart, my God, why have you abandoned me? But then he finishes it with hope. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. I know that you will answer me. I know that you will not abandon me to the grave. And he waits 3 days for that answer. They had been waiting for 4 days. And finally Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. And he does. So in the end, Mary and Martha get what they want. Good for them. I don't always get what I want. You don't always get what you want. True, Mary and Martha got what they wanted for that moment. They'd have to go through all of this all over again. See, that day, yes, they got what they wanted, but it was a week later that we got what we really needed. Lazarus would be temporarily resuscitated. He would die again. A week later, Jesus is resurrected to never die again. Lazarus is a sign pointing to the miracle. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the Lord. There are times, my friends, that our pain and our grief, it's just absolutely unbearable. But too often we ask for too little. We ask for temporary fixes. We ask for what we want, but Jesus gives us what we need. He gives us what we need. Without him, we don't have a lament. All we have is crying. All we have is death. All we have is helplessness. But he is risen. So let us pray lamenting. Yes, cry out from the depths of your heart to him. And then cling to the promise. And you may have to wait. But he will answer you. He has answered you. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though you die, yet you shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Cling to that promise. Why would we ever want anything less than that? Maybe in your pain, you have been attacking him or retreating from him. But let us pray lamenting, my friends. Let us pray lamenting. Cry out with your heart, pour it out to him, and then cling to the promise. And if you're having trouble doing that, or you don't really know how, start reading and praying the Psalms. Did you know that a third of the Psalms are laments? I mean, the book of Psalms is God's prayer book. So a third of them that he gave us, the third of the prayers that he gave us are laments. Would you grab your hymnal that's in front of you? I want to finish the homily with this. In the very front of the hymnal are the Psalms. And so if you would, please find Psalm 130. This is our psalm for today that Faith sang for us. It's a great example of a lament. And we'll close the homily with this as our prayer. And I would invite you as I read it to just listen and follow along. And let it put words on your cry and hope in your heart. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.